This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
I'm fat. I don't want you zooming in on me. Back up.
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello?
What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Welcome to ENN, ladies and gentlemen, which tonight is fueled by Sloman's. I'll start off by saying good evening to Don.
You watching every game, baby? Are you watching?
And good evening to Michael.
They would be so stunned by how great I look, their eyeballs would fall out.
Yeah.
Benny Agbayani.
All right, guys, there's a lot to get to in ENN tonight, and so we will start off with the New York Jets. We just spoke to Sam Darnold, who, of course, out yesterday, and then on top of that, Trevor Siemian now out for the year, needing surgery on his ankle. So very tough situation offensively for this Giants football team. And I got to tell you, though, Don, Sam impresses me. I mean, for coming on the show at all, as we told him, and then not only coming on the show, but just being an open book when he's on the show.
Right. Like, you know, Michael was so right to play up the fact that he came on. I was fully expecting, all right, well, we'll see him when he comes back leading into the Eagle game or after the Eagle game. He'll rejoin us. But you could tell he feels genuinely bad, right? Like, it's not his fault. Who knows where he got this from? But then you get a sense he felt guilty. Like, it's one thing when you get hurt on the field, but this has got to be tough. I mean, it's derailed their season. It's nobody's fault, but he seems like he feels guilty about it.
I mean, look at this. Andrew writes us, I can't stand the Jets, but I do like Sam Darnold. Good interview.
Yeah, I feel the same way about
Gase. How about this? Ed writes us, the Jets interviews this season are some of the best weekly spots ever on the show. Much better than some of the past guests. I was going to say, on phone quality alone today,
yeah, that's big.
Gase and Sam were two of the best voters we've ever had.
That shouldn't be an issue, but apparently
no,
it is.
It always is. Now, I just made a joke to Andrew. I wonder how somehow the people whose jobs it is to cover the local sports talk radio shows will find a way to not mention some of the noteworthy things that Sam just said.
No, they're over it. All the guys.
They're over it. They're on it now?
Yeah.
Oh, the Jets writers are all over it.
Yes.
What's the most interesting tidbit you think that people are pulling from the Sam interview?
Just he was punching the pillow.
I knew it! Pillow punching.
It's so Andrew, though. Because that's like what Andrew does.
Oh, yeah.
When the Eagles lose a tough game, he's kicking the mattress, punching the pillows. That's a lot of you, Andrew, right? You can empathize with his situation.
Yeah, I've talked about that before on this show. After a bad Eagles game, I'll punch. Some people punch walls. I never understood that. They break the wall. They break their wrist. I think the pillow.
Very safe.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is, Andrew? It shows you're a lunatic with anger, but you're a reasonable person. You're not going to hurt yourself.
Right. Even in my most irrational moment, I'm still a little bit rational.
You know why?
I am generic white male. Lego. I'm not even trying to compete with that Lego.
Okay, good. So, big shout out to Sam Darnold. You can go listen on the Michael K Show podcast. Subscribe right now wherever you listen to podcasts on the ESPN app. And you can hear the whole Sam interview. But yeah, really good stuff. Honest. Cleared up at least some things about his contracting of mononucleosis.
I don't think he knows. How's he supposed to know?
No, but he said it was not the girl who was holding a sign at the game.
That's right.
He did make that.
But it was funny. I thought he was going to have a story. Like, I can't believe I didn't get this in high school or college. Well, what were you doing in high school and college?
I was looking for the drop to play it again, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, but he's all football, and I'm sure he's disgusted by all this.
I heard there was one unhappy Jets fan this morning.
One?
One very unhappy. One very unhappy public one.
Okay. Mike Greenberg?
What did you see that concerned you most in the win for Cleveland?
Yeah, it was the continuity.
You know what? Let me take this time to make sure my friend is okay.
No, I'm not okay.
Okay, all right.
Do I seem okay?
Well, I'm here for you.
Really?
I'm
okay.
Here.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm not. I'm, you know, this is
okay.
Very nice.
Let's be strong together.
Thank you. No, I'm not
okay?
Strong.
Yeah, be strong.
Well, I've never been strong.
I need you to be strong.
Well, okay, but then you're gonna
because
have to,
I'm here with you.
If you're looking for strong, you got to go to somebody else.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All
let's
all right.
Let's talk for a minute.
I'm sorry, Jets.
I don't have strong.
My apologies.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Here.
All kidding aside, let's start with the Jets stink. Okay, they stink. The season's over. I wait all year long for this. And it's 8 days, and it's over. That stinks. Right. It's awful.
Okay.
The offense is awful. It was awful when Darnold was there, and it's going to continue to be awful. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They should probably just trade Le'Veon Bell. I don't know what in the world they're going to do with him now. 31 touches last night. I don't know how he survived that. They're going to get him killed. I don't know what they're doing there. A defensive coordinator who everyone is making fun of, actually his defense looked a lot better last night without two of their three most important people. So don't get me started. Look, I asked a question about the Browns, okay? I asked a I did my job. You got me started.
I knew you needed to get it out.
Feel good, right?
No, I feel terrible.
Hey, you know what that's called? That's called relationship. I knew you needed to get that out before we get to actually doing our job.
Okay.
Now, the Cleveland Browns.
That's Marcus Spears and Greeny.
Dude,
and you know what?
Don't get me started.
No, I love.
That was a little late in the game, though.
You know, I love Greeny because, you know, honestly, I said, Donna, what I'm going to say here, you may take as an insult, but it's actually I don't think you will. It's more of a, it's a compliment, not an insult. Both you and Michael still care about the teams that you root for, right?
Right.
You care about the Mets. You care about the Giants. Michael cares about the Yankees. But more than anything, you've become professionals. And I am not a professional and thus don't really relate because, you know, I do on some level, but the Redskins can still make me crazy like I was 12 years old, like dictate my whole day, my whole mood. Just recently, I mean, I've had full episodes caused by the Redskins. I love that Greeny is out there to be someone who's even more professional than me, much more so, much more successful, much more professional,
right,
but is capable of having a Rosenberg-like meltdown about his team still. There's something about our love for a football team that is just different.
It is because, like, I've been fortunate for the teams that I root for. My Giants won 4 Super Bowls in my lifetime, so I really can't complain.
Is that part of – I think that's also beyond your professionalism, part of what makes
but,
it easier
But, you know,
for
I
you.
Did the Jets for 16 years, but I never – I did the job. I didn't bring up the Giants during the broadcast, but people knew I was a Giants fan. It didn't affect my work, but I was still a fan. But you know what? The Mets have struggled. I think it's easier to let go of a baseball team. I think it's easier to let go of a hockey team or a basketball team. Greeny's a Knicks fan, right? He's a passionate Met fan. But there's just something about football.
It's
harder to let go. I think the losing creates disinterest in the other sports. But it's really tough to let go of football. So I think that's what's happened with Greeny. The Knicks have given him no pleasure for the last 25 years. The Mets haven't given him no pleasure.
So you keep that Jets to
whatever. He would not have melted down about the Mets. He would not melt down about the Knicks. He would be aggravated. But there's something about the Jets.
I almost feel like we should check in. I'm a little worried.
Well, I'm wondering if you would agree. Like, do you just find, like, in the other sports that it's just easier? I just won't watch anymore. I'm just going to let it go. It's not going to bother me
anymore. Football, you know, it's one day a week. Like I was saying to you guys the other day, I'm driving back from my friend's birthday on Sunday. I know what the Redskins-Cowboys game is going to be, but it's one day a week. And I know what the season's going to be, but I look forward every week. It's real. It's insane. It's not normal. Let's do our little, our bash for cash.
Little, it's huge. Well, the amount of money that we're giving.
I was about to say, I can't really say little. Over $14,000, I believe. Andrew, you have a chance to be a part of that. Tell us who you like and what inning tonight.
Hello?
Sean.
Right.
Sean,
you're not Andrew. Andrew's the producer.
Sean Boardman from Westbrook, Connecticut.
Sean, give us who you like and what inning tonight.
I'm going to go with Gleyber Torres in the 5th inning.
In the Gleyber?
I like it. It's something different. You know, instead of it always being the same guy in the same inning, I like it. Instead of judging the first.
Well, you already win a gift card from PC Richardson.
That's $50 bucks.
You have
bang.
A chance to win $1,000.
If it's in the 5th.
Well, let's see if I can do this right. All courtesy of PC Richardson, Son, the company you can trust since 1909. Resorts World Casino. Come dine. Come relax.
Wine?
Play, dine, and unwind. Come play, dine, and unwind. And you're home for, it's 98.7 ESPN. I don't have to get that part right, do I? Perfect.
Well, you'd
the most
like to.
Extensive Yankees coverage.
It is extensive.
I am not
a professional.
You're home for the hookup.
You're home for the hookup.
Right.
By the way, I on YouTube any minute, if you missed it this morning, Stephen A. Smith's appearance on Ebro in the Morning this morning.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I understand.
Because I'm not going to mention any names, but on some shows, the host would shut Stephen down for going on the competition. You don't share that same view.
I do with some people.
But not Stephen.
Not Stephen, who I wasn't even sure that he knew my name until today when he said it. He actually said Peter on the show.
Now,
gun to his head, could he say Peter and Rosenberg together? I wouldn't hold him to that. But he said Peter. So up until then, why would I feel that him and I don't have enough of a closeness that he should feel a...
Now, is he in studio or on the phone?
In studio.
Ooh.
I'd give the Knicks mic one, you guys.
Now, I'm deciding how inside baseball I should go. It was originally in studio. Then they tried to go phoner.
Yeah.
And that was where we put our foot down on the issue you're talking about.
Why?
So because he did the other show in studio.
Right.
So when they tried to go phoner to us, our producer wrote back and said, sorry, we can't do it. And then Steven, not missing an opportunity for a great interview, comes in. I will tell you, though, he delivered. It's like an hour. He was live for like 50 minutes.
And I'm sure he was phenomenal. Did a much better interview than anybody else could have done. Even
though. I mean, there's no doubt. The Stephen A. interview, we covered a lot of stuff. It was very good. Thank you to Stephen A. and John Winthrop, who helped us get that together. I am not a professional. That is a fact. So moving right along, Manish Mehta wrote a story that seems to – you thought I was being protective of Jamal Adams earlier. Can I read you a little piece of the story on Jamal?
Sure.
No matter what becomes of the Jets in the next 10, 20, or even 30 years, no matter how much agita the star-crossed franchise puts its diehard fans through, they'll never have an employee like Jamal Adams. So it was jarring to see Greg Williams, days after needlessly antagonizing Odell Beckham Jr., benching Adams in the waning minutes of Gangrene's primetime blowout loss to the Browns on Monday. The brash defensive coordinator embarrassed his Pro Bowl player, who embodies everything that is good about this perpetually wayward organization. Nobody works harder, cares more, and lives and breathes football like the third-year safety. Amid a green and white sea of dysfunction, backstabbing, prevarication and power struggles. I don't know what prevarication is.
I'm not sure either.
Adams is pure. He has no agenda. He cares. Most of all, he produces. Although Adams admitted he was overzealous on a pair of back-to-back penalties, offsides and encroachment. On the Browns' final drive, Williams should not have pulled him. Quote, yeah, I was benched, Adams said on the Fan earlier today. They benched me. I tried to anticipate a play, which I anticipated wrong, and I was benched. Hey, it happens. I got to continue to do my job to the best of my ability, as well as help lead the guys around me. Adams' decision to remove his affiliation with the Jets on his Twitter bio might have caused a stir on Tuesday, but the benching was much more troubling. On the surface, benching Adams, who had sat out this part, see, Don, this makes it more interesting to me. Benching Adams, who had sat out for just 14 of 2,289 career snaps entering the game, for the final five snaps might not seem like a big deal. However, it sent precisely the wrong message.
Well, that's according to Manish.
He's an expert.
Fan.
He's a man who covers the Jets.
He's a fan of Jamal Adams, obviously.
Evidently
not a fan of Greg Williams. I mean, I don't know how he knows him a lot better than I do, and I'm not here to knock Jamal Adams, but that was pretty complimentary that they'll never have an employee like Jamal Adams. Like,
very
he's the greatest employee in the history of the sport. The guy's in his third year in the league.
It's
he's
glowing.
Bigger than Namath, but bigger than Maynard, like as far as like dedication to the club. I mean, it just seemed a little overboard to me, but maybe he's right. I don't cover the team anymore. I don't know him personally. But really, is it that big of a deal? If he didn't mention it to Maggie and Bart, would anybody have even known he was pulled from the game? I mean, it was the end of the game. Who cares? Right? I mean, the game was over. I do think you should be allowed to still coach players, people. And one of the things sometimes you do when you coach a player is, hey, you're overzealous. You're a little over anxious. You know what? You're going to sit for a few plays. It's not the end of the world. Gase, unlike Jamal Adams, who was very immature in his handling of it, you know, Manish is entitled to his opinion to say, you know, no big deal about, you know, changing your social media and changing your bio and unfollowing them on Instagram. I mean, how 21st century is that? Adam Gase didn't rip him. He came on our air and just said, hey, listen, I'm not even going to tell you. Yeah, play.
Here's Adam Gase talking about Jamal earlier.
I don't think that bench is really the word that I would use. I look at it more like I thought it was a good idea to just let him cool down a little bit. The thing I love about Jamal is I don't know if there's anybody more competitive than him on our team. And I know it crushes him, the fact that, you know, we're 0-2 right now. We're losing that game. He wants to make a play. No matter what the score is, he wants to be impactful. And I thought it was good to just kind of try to get him regrouped, you know, and just kind of finish out that game the right way.
All right. Now, maybe he's protecting Greg Williams, but he did come on record and say he thought it was a good idea. So we can't coach players anymore, Peter. Has it gotten that so much, like with the millennials, that you are too old school if you show any discipline whatsoever to a player? And I'm sorry, he may be on his way to being Ronnie Lott. All right, he may be on his way to being one of the greatest safeties in the history of football. He's in his third year. And I do think there are times, and correct me if I'm wrong, where he has maybe gotten a little bit full of himself. Greg Williams,
according to Greg Williams,
had said, you know, I coach better. I mean, sometimes.
But let's be honest, Greg Williams has a little bit of hack-a-doodle-do in him.
No, he does.
He says that he talks out of line a little bit.
He does, but right now, from what we know from the information given to us by the head coach, Gase was on board with the benching.
But,
okay. Well, now, is he protecting Greg Williams? I don't know. He went on board to protect it. All right.
He also said he didn't have a problem with Greg Williams calling out Odell the way he did.
No, well, he didn't say that.
He did. He said, I don't worry about that. I worry
he
about
said,
players.
Yeah, he said he doesn't follow it. He doesn't pay attention to it. Okay. Which I think gets Gase out of a lot of conversation because he's so much into the football that he doesn't get into. That's why we didn't even ask him about the social media aspect of Jamal Adams, because you know he's not going to answer that because he doesn't care about that stuff. But again, I don't think it's a big deal either way, honestly. All right. He was a little immature afterwards. He was upset. No big deal. They benched him for five plays. No big deal. Manish, it kind of sounds like you're trying to create a soap opera here in a season that you know is slowly becoming irrelevant. Why does everybody, we're guilty of it too. I'm not exempting myself. When I say media, I'm always talking about our show. I'm always talking about my job and myself, okay? I'm not separating myself from when I say the media.
It looks like they're playing a nice long Sam clip on ESPN right now.
Awesome. Now, I lived it, so
you don't need to replay.
That's fine. Is why do we always, as the media, when things get out of hand and the losing happens and you begin to realize, all right, the team's becoming irrelevant, we now have to create things. We now have to find the soap opera. Now we're going to have to try to find a way because these games are meaningless now with Darnold being out and the team's on their way to being 0-6. Let's create a rift between Jamal Adams and Greg Williams. All right. Let's do that.
No, I mean,
come on. Really? Was that story even necessary? Do you think it's that big of a thing? The coach downplayed it. Adams is downplayed.
Don, he's missed 14 plays out of 2,300. Five straight, obviously, is something.
What did he miss the other 14 for? Maybe they were for similar situations. And Gase was not the coach during any of those. And Greg Williams was not the coach during any of those. By the way, the coaches that made the decisions on how often he played, by the way, had just gotten fired. So maybe that's the way they want to do things. Hey, he was overzealous. All right, we're going to have you cool off. Game's over anyway. We don't need you to maybe do something where you get yourself suspended or whatever. I don't know what the reasoning was.
I'm not saying you might not be right. You might be right. But I'm saying also coaches have to think about whether the person that they're pulling is the right person to pull. If that, A, is going to be something that motivates them and be helpful, and B, if it's going to motivate other players.
So that's the way it's going to be right now.
No, it's not about right now.
Well, no, but
he's the best player on the defense.
No, I understand that. So
you bench your defensive captain. There are repercussions for that.
At the end of a game, you're getting blown out in which he admitted that he was overzealous and jumping offsides and encroachment on back-to-back plays, okay? Which to me is a lack of focus. All right. I'll snap you out of it, okay? Again, nobody even noticed it. If he didn't say anything to Maggie and Bart, we wouldn't even know about it. Why does he have to overreact that way? So basically, I can set myself, if I'm the best player on the team, okay? Then that means I cannot be coached anymore if I choose not to be coached?
Because
of what's happening in Miami, that all I have to do is fly off the handle, complain about it, and now as the coach, I got to be, oh my God, if I do that to him, he's going to get upset. Come on, really?
I'm just saying, Don, the defense didn't lose the game yesterday. Like, they just didn't. They weren't bad yesterday. Their defense wasn't bad yesterday. They had a couple of moments.
Sometimes,
the touchdown to Odell was a tough one, but he's done that to everyone.
I know this is old school, and I'm a dinosaur, and I'm completely irrelevant.
No, you don't have to say that either. There's a middle ground between.
But I'm going
to give
an example.
All millennial.
The reason I say that is because I give an example. Why do you think that, like, it's historic in Giants history of in a game in Indianapolis where Bill Parcells, right on to national television, ripping into Phil Sims, destroying him, telling him to sit down. You could see the expletives flying out of his mouth. This is the quarterback of the New York Giants being ripped apart on national television by the coach. Why do you think he did that? Because everybody else on the sidelines thinking, if he could do that to Phil Sims, he could certainly do it to me. And if I could bench Jamal Adams in a game for five plays, then everybody else on that team is now on alert that I better stay focused, because if he could do it to Jamal, he could do it to me. Sometimes the responsibility of being the best player, sometimes the responsibility of being the captain, is sometimes taking on that burden and being used at times as an example. And how you handle it is what best helps the team. You tell me that Jamal Adams handled that properly, but then running to meet social media and unfollowing the Jets?
No, no.
Does that sound captain material to you?
No, I don't think it was, and I don't.
So that's the story to me.
But that's what everyone. No, no. That's how the story started. That's what the story was.
Right. So automatically now, a coach doing his job. A guy being hired, now it's Greg Williams is the bad guy.
You hired a questionable coach. Sorry. Greg Williams is a questionable guy. Made bad decisions last week. Made bad decisions in New Orleans. He makes bad decisions. So was it a good idea at the end of a game in which your defense wasn't terrible to bench your best defensive player who currently playing because he was overzealous? Maybe it was. I agree with you. There are times when benching the captain or scolding the captain, I agree with you. It can make sense and be good, but that doesn't mean you don't have to know the players. It's like a teacher knowing a student. You got to know how it affects that student and everybody else.
I understand that, but then that means you can kind of get on, because if you decide to be a baby about it, it should be more on you not to be a baby than on me, where I guess I can't discipline him because he might fly off the handle. It's still his fault for flying off the handle. If there's something that I don't think is that big of a deal. He didn't have some consecutive streak going on. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Greg Williams. I thought what he did with Odell Beckham Jr. was ridiculous.
Now, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Odell was asked last night about Greg Williams.
What was your feelings about what Greg Williams said the other day about, he basically said he didn't think you were one of the league's most dynamic players?
Who? Who's it? Oh. Everybody has the right to their own opinion. He's a phenomenal coach. He's got a great defense, but I'm done talking about it.
God, I mean, talk about the high road coming off great for Odell.
Although, he did the Who first.
Well, I got to tell you, if I'm a comedian, like Ted Alexandro is one of my favorite comedians. I'm going to plug him all the time because he's great. Don't tell that joke. It gets zero reaction.
Now, Odell was better. Odell's was better than Greg's.
But it didn't get a reaction
still,
either.
Listen to that. It's dead silent. And I thought he delivered it well.
What was your feelings about what Greg Williams said the other day about, he basically said he didn't think you were one of the league's most dynamic players?
Who? Who's it? Oh.
Is there a little,
I'm telling you, the media, if you're an athlete or a coach in this town,
don't do the Who joke.
The audience in a press conference is eating out of your hand. They'll laugh at anything you say. But strike this from your joke repertoire. Then it's not.
I'll tell you what, though. Greg Williams saying that not dynamic. Don, the first one-handed catch by Odell, I mean, it's not the Cowboys one from many years ago, but you don't see a lot of guys with that catch on the sideline. That one-handed catch was
it was the footwork too.
It was the feet and the one-handed catch.
And I know Adam Gase doesn't believe in bulletin board fodder. I worked with Greg Buttle for two decades. He didn't believe in it.
Odell seemed to enjoy it, though.
The bear. Why poke the bear on national television?
All right. Other sometimes flashy wide receivers news. DeSean Jackson has an abdominal strain. He's out for two weeks. Odell Beckham Jr., by the way, in that game last night, wore a watch that people were saying was worth $2 million during warm-ups. It created quite a stir.
Oh, my God.
However, now people are speculating that it's fake. He was wearing a fake watch during warm-ups.
Did he know it was fake?
That's what I can't understand.
Did he know it was Fugazi?
Like, if he intentionally was wearing a fake one? But it was a London-based watch media website alleged that the warm-up piece was an imitation. Well,
who knows?
I don't think it was. I think the point of him wearing it is to wear an expensive one. Wouldn't a company now – I have a question. Would it be worth it now for a company to give you a $1 million watch just for what it would end up meaning? It would be worth it.
And you know what? I would also think that if you're spending $2 million on a watch, $1 million on a watch –
do you really mind wearing it again?
No, it's good. Probably have insurance, right? You probably can get insurance on it.
Yeah, definitely. So $1 million, I hope so.
Right. So, but it's just, we brought this up before. Football, you could take the most nondescript game on a Sunday that nobody cares about. A big play happens, you'll see it 50 times before you go to work the next day. Football is so exposed. Why do you have to play this game? like a baseball player, a hockey player, where it's like a regional sport.
And right. You sort of get it more.
Then you kind of, and what's funny is you don't get it. You actually get the reverse. But in football, with all the attention, like Odell's one-handed catch, his 88-yard touchdown reception, winning the game on Monday Night Football, isn't that enough than all the other histrionics to try to get attention? It's hard not to be paid attention to when you're great.
Jalen Ramsey, update on him and the Jaguars. He says he just wants to win.
If I have a long, I'm going to be here. I'm going to continue giving my all out there. All I care about is winning, man. Everybody know that. I want to win. Straight up, and I excuse my language, but everybody know that. That's who I am. That's that passion, that fire, that heart. That's what y'all love. And I'm gonna continue giving that as long as I'm here. I want all my dogs to go out there and ball. I want to ball with them on Thursday. You know, if I'm still here.
So yeah, that gangbuster Jaguar Titans Thursday night game.
He could be a real team changer though. Him, if he was actually on the market and people were interested. Now, speaking of which, Minkah Fitzpatrick found his deal.
Yep.
Got out of Miami and is now going to Pittsburgh in exchange for a 2020 first round pick.
May not be that much better a situation. Certainly better than Miami, but this is not the playoffs either.
Maybe next year it'll be better, but yeah, a little bit rough.
I can't, listen, I'm talking about the millennials and all. I can't really blame any players wanting out of Miami.
No, this
is unheard of. I never thought this would happen in football. I never thought it could happen in football, tanking.
At this level?
Well, this is why you can't do it. Because look at what the week two players want to get traded. Nobody's going to stand for this.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's an absolute. And by the way, I didn't mean mention earlier, the two of the biggest spreads of all time this weekend. The Dolphins, 21.5-point dogs against the Cowboys, and the Jets, 22.5-point dogs against New England.
First time since when there's been more than one game where the spread has been over 20?
I'm going to go 1987.
That's the answer. Now, what I did not find out.
Thank you.
Were they scab games that had the big spread?
Well, I'll tell you. It's week five.
Oh, yeah.
That's still it, right?
That's scab.
So that's bonkers.
Week five. So yeah, and it makes sense because some teams got caught with their pants down, didn't really build a roster. Other guys did. So really, you got to go back to 32 years ago and with replacement players.
I might pound the Jets. I think Luke Falk will be much better. They will not be what they were in the first half last night.
Listen, Bill's still got something a bug up as you know what about the Jets. It's become like a thing, right? Where if you're playing. If you're playing the Dolphins, let's say, you don't want to be the team that finally didn't cover the spread against them. Like, don't you take some pride if you're the Patriots? Like, I know Bill doesn't care, but the players, I'm sure, we want to cover that number.
That'll do it for E. You know what?
This might have been one of my favorites ever.
And I still had a good. So we might have to still play this audio of Mike Leach that I didn't even get to yet. And ENN tonight was fueled by our friends at Sloman's. Looking for low-price home heating oil this winter? Call 866-OIL-DEAL for low-price home heating from Sloman's. That's 866-OIL-DEAL.
All right, let's hammer the calls at 1-800-919-3776. Then at 7 o'clock, it's Inside the Jets, followed at 8 o'clock by Alan Hahn. It's Don and Peter on The K Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.